to miss any of the messages in this series, you can always go online on our website at stoneridgecc.com and you can watch those messages. What is Christmas all about? It's about Jesus, right? Plain and simple, it's about Jesus. As a child, I thought it was about a guy named Santa Claus. He was the one responsible for bringing me presents. I still remember how disappointed I was when my parents told me there is no Santa Claus. I was like, what? Because of this, I'm not going to tell our daughter Eden there is a Santa Claus. Why? Because I want her to know the truth about Christmas. We wouldn't have it if it wasn't for Jesus. He is the present. He is the gift. He is the reason we celebrate. What exactly are we celebrating at Christmas? Well, first, His birth. Let's jump right into Scripture here in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. And this is how Jesus, the Messiah, was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph, but before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. What makes this birth so special? What makes this birth so special? It came through the power of the Holy Spirit. It came through the power of the Holy Spirit. What do we know about the power of the Holy Spirit? What are some examples in Scripture in the Bible where we talk about the Holy Spirit? Well, we know what the Lord said to a guy named Zerubbabel about the Spirit. What did the Lord say to Zerubbabel? Who's Zerubbabel? He was a governor of Judah. And the Lord spoke to him through the prophet Zechariah. And what did he say to him about the Spirit? Let's look here in Zechariah 4:6. Then he said to me, this is what the Lord says to Zerubbabel. It is not by force nor by strength, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of heaven's armies. It is not by force nor by strength, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of heaven's armies. What was this guy Zerubbabel at that time fixing to do? Rebuild the temple. He was fixing to rebuild the temple. What do we know about the temple? It had been destroyed. Therefore, the task of rebuilding the temple seemed overwhelming. Perhaps today you're overwhelmed. Maybe you've got some things on your plate, things in your life that are going right now, and you just feel a little overwhelmed. Maybe it's that time of the year, that season with family and traveling, and so you're feeling overwhelmed with what you're having to accomplish or do or rebuild or try to bring together again. Why is that? Well, it could be because you're trying to do things in your own power and strength. The reason you're feeling overwhelmed, it could be because you're trying to do things in your own power and in your own strength. In other words, you're trying to force some things to happen. You're trying to force some things to happen. In case you haven't noticed, it's not working. The only way it will work is if you trust God. What happens when you trust God? Nothing will stand in your way. When you trust God, when you put your faith in Him, in the midst of what you're going through, in the midst of what you're dealing with right now, in the midst of what's on your plate, nothing will stand in your way. In fact, when you put your trust in Him, you'll be able to set the missing pieces back in place. Right? Maybe there's some pieces right now in your life that are just kind of out of place. But you'll be you trying to force it to happen or doing it in your own power and strength, when that final piece of the puzzle is back where it belongs, back in place, those around you, your friends and your family, will rejoice with you. And they'll shout, "May God bless it. May God bless this." Why? Because it's God that's in it and behind it. How do I know this will happen? Because it happened for Zerubbabel as he was rebuilding the temple. Let's look here at verse 7, Zechariah 4:7. "Nothing, not even a mighty mountain, will stand in Zerubbabel's way. It will become a level plain before him. And when Zerubbabel sets the final stone, the final piece of the puzzle in place, the temple, the final stone of the temple in place, the people will shout, 'Yes, God did this. God was behind this. I trust in him.' And may God bless it. May God bless it." You see, God wants to bless you. Okay? God wants to bless you. God is for you. Right? But you have to trust in him and in his power. Right? You have to trust in him and in his power. It's not by force, right? We can't force this to happen. We can't make it happen, right? I'll just fix this relationship or this thing. I'll just make it happen. It's not by force, nor by strength, right? In your own power, in your own strength. But by my spirit, says the Lord. Did Mary's soon-to-be husband, Joseph, believe in the power of the Holy Spirit? Did Mary's soon-to-be husband, Joseph, believe in the power of the Holy Spirit? This would kind of be a hard thing, right? All of a sudden, the girl you're dating says, "I'm pregnant." Oh, and by the way, it happens supernaturally, right? You'd be like, "What? Really? You're just pregnant supernaturally?" So, I don't think Joseph exactly believed in the power of the Holy Spirit. We say, "Ed, how do you know that?" Because he decided to break off the engagement quietly. That's what I would have done. I would have said, "You know what? I don't think this is going to work. I don't know how you got pregnant, but I'm not buying the story." And so that's, in essence, what Joseph did. He's like, "I'm going to break off this engagement quietly. You're telling me it's of God and by his spirit, and I don't know about this." Let's jump back into verse 19. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man. He was a good man and did not want to disgrace her publicly. So he did what? He decided to break the engagement quietly, right? I'm not going to make a scene or a big deal about this, but I'm out. Is there anything you're thinking about breaking off in your life right now? Is there anything that you're thinking about breaking off in your life right now? "I just want out." "I just want out of this thing. Out of this school. Out of this town. Out of this job, out of this relationship, out of this marriage. I just want out." Wait a second. I'm out. What about God? What is it he chance to meditate on it. Instead of worrying about your situation that you can't fix, you meditate on Jesus because he can fix it. Right? You think about him and what he wants. Well, what happened when Joseph thought about this, when he meditated on it, when he was thinking about Mary being pregnant, thinking about just getting out, breaking it off? What happened? An angel of the Lord came to him and revealed to Joseph what it is he wanted him to do in this situation that he was in. Let's read on in our story here, verse 20. As he considered this, as he thought about it, right? An angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid. Like, do not be afraid. Maybe you're afraid here this morning. Maybe you're afraid what's going to happen. Right? You don't know what's going to happen, and you're just afraid to take a step, to take a move. The angel says, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. God did this. It's a God thing. Is there anything you're afraid might happen right now in your life? Is there anything that you're afraid might happen? Maybe you're afraid you're going to have surgery. Maybe right now you're like, man, I have to go to the doctor, and I'm just afraid I'm going to have surgery. Maybe you're afraid you're never going to get married again, right? You were married and you had a bad experience, and now you're like, okay, it's the holidays, I'm lonely. Man, I tell you what, Monica, she's in Tennessee with Eden. I'm lonely. Right, I'm FaceTiming them. I'm like, man, there's nothing to do here. Someone this morning said, why don't you take up skiing? People got all kinds of great ideas for me to do when it's 0 degrees outside. I'm just not very excited about it. All right, ice skating. Yeah, I guess I could ice skate for the next 4 months. Maybe you're afraid things won't be the same this Christmas, right? Maybe you're just afraid because of what's happening, what's going on right now, that things just won't be the same this Christmas. Whatever it is that you're afraid of, whatever it is that you're afraid of right now might happen, God says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Why? Because if you're a believer, if you're a Christian, the Spirit is working in you. Right? If you're a believer, you believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins and rose again on the third day, Spirit is working in you. What does that mean? The Spirit is working in you. It means he causes everything in your life to work together for the good. This may be a bad time and a bad situation, but he is working. You may not see it, you may not feel it, but God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love him. Paul says this, you know the verse, Romans 8:28, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose for them. What was God's purpose for Mary? What was God's purpose for her? To give birth to a son. Verse 21, continuing on in our story here. And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. What exactly are we celebrating? First, his birth. Second, being saved from our sins. I don't know about you, but I got a lot of sins. I got a lot of sins. Sometimes people point them out to me. All right, but just in case I forgot, I got a lot of them. I got a lot of things that need to be forgiven of and will continue to need to be forgiven of. Jesus says, I'm forgiven. got them covered for the future. Oh, man, that's good news. And all this is made possible because he chose to humble himself. Paul says it like this in Philippians 2:5. You and me, must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, right? He was, it is. He did not think of equality with God as something to cling to or something to hold on to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Here's the question. Are you willing to humble yourself and live in obedience to God? Are you willing to humble yourself and live in obedience to God? The truth is, the majority of the world isn't willing to do this, right? The majority of the world isn't willing to do this. Now, they may say they're a Christian. They may even say they go to church. But there's no evidence or part of their life that you can see that they're actually willing to humble themselves and submit to him and live under him and with him as their Lord and Savior of their life. Why? Pride. Pride. I got too much pride to put myself under someone else. Whether it be my spouse, right? My boss, I got too much pride to put myself under someone else. Or as Jesus, the ultimate King of Kings and Lord of Lords, listen, you need to swallow your pride. First, you need to ask Jesus to forgive you. Second, you need to ask whoever you've wronged to forgive you. Okay. Ask Jesus, and then whoever it is that you've wronged to forgive you. Well, they were 95% at fault. Well, they may be 95% at fault, right? But let's deal with your 5%, right? Or 98% you were whatever it is, right? Let's deal with you. Not on you. But what if I ask them to forgive me and they don't? Well, then that's on them. At least you know you did your part. Right? At least you know you did your part. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. That's what Paul says in Romans 12. Right? If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, you live at peace with everyone. You do your part. But I'm afraid to talk to them. I'm afraid to go to them. I'm afraid. Listen, the Lord has a message for you. The Lord has a message for you. What is it? You want to know what it is? It's that He is with you. It's that He is with you. Right? He's with you. Verse 22. All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through His prophet. Look. The virgin will conceive a child, she will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means what? God is with us. Man, it's nice to know that God is with me, that God is for me. I want you to know that God is with you, and He is for you. What happened when Joseph knew that God was with him? When Joseph knew, okay, God's in this, God's behind the situation. I may not understand everything that's going on. She's ugly. She's pregnant. And it's through God. And right? But I know God has said He's with me, and so I'm going to trust in Him. I'm going to believe Him. What happened when Joseph knew that God was with him? He was obedient. Verse 24. When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife. Are you being obedient to what God has called you to do? Are you being obedient right now in your life, in this situation, to what you know God has called you to do? Well, what is it God has called you to do? Well, for starters, repent. me to do. But I'm too stubborn to do that. So I don't want you to think I'm picking on you, right? If you're here this morning, like, I know I need to get baptized and I haven't. Right? Because there's things in my life that God asked me to do. And I'm just too stubborn to do them. Oh, Lord, forgive me. Help me. Right? Help me to do what is right and pleasing in your eyes. Do you remember what God asked Saul to do? Remember what he asked Saul to do back in the Old Testament there in 1 Samuel? He said, I want you to destroy the Amalekites. Destroy the Amalekites. Why? Because they opposed my people, the nation of Israel, when they came out of Egypt. They opposed them. They were against them. Was Saul obedient? No. What did it cost him? What did his disobedience cost him? It cost him his life. Do you remember what Samuel said to him? Let's look here. 1 Samuel 15, verse 22. But Samuel replied, what is more pleasing to the Lord, your burnt offerings and sacrifices, or your obedience to his voice? Listen, obedience is better than sacrifice, and submission is better than offering the fat of rams. Rebellion is as sinful as witchcraft, and stubbornness as bad as worshiping idols. So because you have rejected the command of the Lord, he has rejected you as king. Who did the Lord choose to replace Saul with? You know the answer. Who did the Lord choose to replace Saul with? David. David. Why? Well, if we jump back into Acts, we see why. Acts 13, verse 22. But God removed Saul and replaced him with David, a man about whom God said, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. Why was he a man after God's own heart? He will do everything I want him to do because he does what I want him to do. He's obedient. And it is one of King David's descendants, Jesus, who is God's promised Savior of Israel. Before he came, John the Baptist preached that all the people of Israel needed to repent of their sins and turn to God and be baptized. As John was finishing his ministry, he asked, who do you think I am? The Messiah? No, I am not. But he is coming soon. And I'm not even worthy to be his slave and untie the sandals on his feet. Brothers, you sons of Abraham and you God-fearing Gentiles, this message has been sent to us. This message here has been sent to you and me. The message that there is a Savior and his name is Jesus. What are we doing with this message? What are we doing with this message? I think a lot of times we don't do anything with it. We don't do anything with it. Why? Fear. Fear is one thing. And the other is we're just self-absorbed. We're either afraid of what other people are going to think about us if we talk about Jesus with them. I don't know what they're going to think about me or say about me if I tell them or talk about Jesus or my relationship with him or going to church. I don't know what they're going to say. Or we're just so busy in our own lives, so wrapped up in our own things, that we're not even thinking about it. Right? We're not even thinking about talking to someone about Jesus because we're just going. It's time we start thinking about it. James says, what is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then poof, vanishes. Your life's over before you know it. What is Christmas all about? It's about Jesus, plain and simple. What exactly are we celebrating? First, his birth. Second, being saved from our sins. This is the message that has been sent to us. And this is the message we must share with others. Isaiah 9, 6 and 7 says this, "For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders," right? Not on any politician. Praise the Lord, right? "And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Oh, I need peace, right? He will be your source of peace, right? Only he can give you a peace that surpasses all understanding to guard your heart and your mind. His government and his peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice. He'll do what's right from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen. He did indeed make this happen. He did indeed make this happen. That's what Christmas is. A fulfillment of prophecy. He made it happen. And as ambassadors of Christ, as representatives of Christ, as someone who represents Jesus. Oh man, that's a scary thought, right? Because I am not worthy. And I don't know if I'm the best representation, but the Lord still chooses to work through me and use me in spite of my shortcomings. It's up to us to do our part. Well, what's our part? It's really, will you tell your friends, neighbors, and co-workers, family, relatives, what Christmas is all about? Will you tell them? That's our part. Our part's to tell them. Right? Will you? Oh, maybe you're here this morning and you say, "Man, I haven't really been telling anybody because I've just got so much going on in my life right now. I'm afraid of what might happen next. And I need Jesus." Well, the good news is, Jesus says, "Don't be afraid because I am with you and I love you. And I haven't forgotten about you and your situation." So let's start right there, right? Maybe here in the next moment you ask Jesus into your heart to be your personal Lord and Savior. Maybe you're here this morning, you say, "I'm a Christian, but I don't know that I've been a good representation of him because I've been so wrapped up in other things that I've forgotten what really matters. I've forgotten what we're celebrating. I haven't had much reason to celebrate because I've been focused on the wrong things. Would you pray for me?" Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. It's powerful. It's convicting. Maybe you're here this morning with heads bowed and eyes closed, and you'd say, "Ed, the truth is I've been afraid lately. Afraid of some things that might happen. And I need Jesus. I need to know that he is with me in this and that he loves me." Maybe you're here and you say, "Ed, I've never asked him to be with me and to come into my heart and to forgive me. I've always had too much pride to do that." Well, if that's your desire, to ask him to be your Lord, to be your Savior, to save you from yourself and from your sins, then I'd like to lead you in a prayer that you pray softly and quietly in your heart as you repeat these words after me. And here they are. "Lord Jesus, I ask you to forgive me for my sins. I thank you for dying on the cross for me. I ask you to come into my heart and change me and make me like you." If you just pray that prayer, God will honor that prayer. Maybe you're here this and that we may tell everyone we meet what Christmas is all about. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.